New season, new year, new chance. Let's go.
No challenge too difficult.
No sacrifice or self-denial too great. Team first. Team last. Team always.
Kickoff Live show brought to you by Andrew Mark, live from the University at Albany. And I'm Anita Marks here with John Schmelk. John and you, of course, we want audience participation. Giants fans, very excited. Preseason game number one right around the corner. The phone number, 518-437-3774. Any questions, comments? As I said, the Giants getting ready for preseason game number one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, John, let's talk about practice today first and foremost.
Well, first things first, Will Hill made a great play on defense, tipping an interception to himself, making really a great defensive play. He did a great job.
He's been great really all camp.
He's shown flashes, but again, let's see him be consistent.
Am I pumping him up? I'm pumping him up.
Let's see him be consistent from practice to practice. Let's see him do it in a game. Now, offensively, the Giants had a lot of success in the goal line drill they ran at the end of practice. Dan DePalma made a great play in the back of the end zone, getting his feet down. Larry Donald, the young tight end, caught a touchdown. Victor Cruz scored. And then the highlight play had to be the Brandon Collins catch in the corner where he kind of bobbled it, went down. I don't think he got his feet in. It was incomplete, but the fans liked it. They gave him a big round of applause.
Well, one player that did not practice today, unfortunately, but was here in Albany, is cornerback Terrell Thomas. And exciting that he's back with the team, dealing with the injury, of course, we know of. He had a chance to talk to the media. Let's listen in.
Frustration, but I didn't give up. My knee felt great. I didn't think it was too severe. And the way I went down is something that I've been training. I put myself through whole, different types of workouts to make sure I was prepared for this day. But it was just bad timing. Thank God that, all the doctors agreed to clear me and I'm able to come back and rehab and have a chance at the season.
When did you actually get that news that, you're cleared?
It was hard, because I met with my doctor in L.A., and he thought, I didn't need surgery. He thought the ACL was still intact. The MRI came out negative, but, it just felt a little bit weird. And then we all agreed that Dr. Andrews would pretty much have the last word and went to see him, and, he didn't see a problem with it.
So when you fly back from Florida, what's your feeling?
Man, just relief. It still hasn't hit me yet. It's still frustration because I prepared for this day. But God has a plan for me. It's all about timing. And I have full belief in Ronnie Barnes and his staff that they're going to, take care of me and get me ready for my return. I don't know when that's going to be. I'm just going to be nipping at the bits, trying to get ready.
So pretty interesting, John. A lot of speculation that there was a slight tear of the ACL, a total tear of the ACL. As we just heard, Terrell Thomas saw his doctors in L.A. and Dr. Andrews as well, and there is no tear. So what is the timetable for Terrell Thomas now?
Well, he kind of said 3 to 8 weeks. His agent said a couple days ago in the papers 4 to 6. The bottom line here is that they're calling this an aggravated ACL. I've never heard of an aggravated ACL. I'm not sure if you have either. So there's an issue with it. I'm not quite sure if they know exactly what it is, but they don't think it's something that requires surgery. And that's the most important thing, and that's what Terrell's excited about. So they'll rehab him, try to get it stronger, and you'll probably see him, if I was to make a guess, and I don't know anything, in this
crystal ball,
beginning of October.
John Schmelk, what's your crystal ball tell you?
Call the Tino hatch. I don't have it on me, sorry.
518-437-3774 is the number. Again, 518-437-3774, the number to get in on the show. A ton of practice so far. And the players really excited for preseason game number one because they get to hit other players, Jacksonville Jaguar players at that. So what can we judge? We've seen practice. Now looking at preseason game number one, what can you tell from these players and guys that are like vying for positions?
You can see what these guys will do under fire. When you have guys lining up across from them that are willing to tackle, that are willing to lay the wood, bury him, not try to injure him, but hit him hard and try to make a good football play. You can simulate a lot on the practice field. but you can't simulate full contact. Even back in, you know, the early 90s, you weren't doing full tackling in practice. It's time for the young guys who have shown flashes out there on the practice field to show it under the lights against Jacksonville with the full pads on, everyone trying to hit each other.
The number 518-437-3774. Let's head out to our calls, John. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Peter Rubin. Caller from Haverty Grace, Maryland, via Brooklyn, New York.
Thanks for calling, welcome. Pete.
And my question is, I'd like to say hello to you, Anita, and John. My question is, what do you think that JPP season is going to look like this year?
I think it's going to be darn good. How many sacks he's going to get is hard to say. Now, the talk earlier in camp, JPP, I've reached about 50% of my potential. So don't start thinking he's going to get 33 sacks last year since he said 16 and a half, you know, back in 2011. That's not going to happen. But I think he'll be more solid. You know what I mean? He might have the same number of sacks, but he'll make more plays in the running game. He's not going to lose his gap on some delays, on some counters. I think that's where you're going to see the improvement from JPP. Or maybe if you watch some coaches tape, you'll see it. But when you're watching on TV, you might not quite see it. I wouldn't expect many more than 16 and a half sacks, maybe 18, but that's a fantastic number.
Well, I think the great thing about JPP is that he's still developing and he's learning this defense. And when you don't have to think as much and you can just let your athleticism shine, which he is just so athletic, so I'm expecting bigger and better things from JPP just because he's getting to learn this defense even another year in the books.
Well, quite frankly, I'm not sure he's doing a lot of thinking the last 2 years either. Not that he's not a smart player,
right,
but he's such an instinctual player.
Yes.
And he sees it and he reacts naturally. That's what makes him so special. Coaches have even said, you don't want to teach this guy too much. Once he starts thinking, he might lose his instinct. So you got to be careful and strike a good balance there.
518-437-3774. We want to hear from you. Let's head out to our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Anita. Hey, John. It's Bori from Brick, New Jersey.
What's up?
Quick question. Bear Pascoe, you guys feel he's ready to be a number one tight end on this team?
I think he has the experience, the knowledge of the offense, and mentally he's ready to take on the job. Bear's never been a guy that's too small for something. He does whatever this team needs him to do, whether it was playing fullback a couple years ago or now playing tight end. There's still a battle going on. It could be Martellus Bennett. It could be Bear Pascal being that number one tight end. We'll see. That's another spot, Anita, where the preseason games are going to come into play here, and whoever outplays each other, that's going to go a long way to deciding who starts on opening night.
You're right, but at the same time, don't you feel their styles are just so different? I mean, I really look at Martellus Bennett as more of a receiving tight end and Bear as more of a blocking tight end. So I see Kevin Gilbride using them. You know, I don't necessarily look as a starting tight end. I think that they're both going to be utilized, at least what I've seen so far.
I think they both will be, and a lot of people do think of Martellus Bennett as a receiving tight end. Yet, when he got here as an NFL player, he's really most accomplished as a blocker. So we need to see him develop as a wide receiver here. He is a great coach and Mike Pope to do it. He has the athleticism. Now let's see the production.
518-437-3774. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name, where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Nick from Washington, D.C.
What's up, Nick? Go ahead.
My question is about what you two think that Keith Rivers is going to do to this linebacking core. The trade for him, I think he immediately becomes the most purely talented linebacker on the roster. I'm wondering, who do you think he will push off? Since we retained all the linebackers from last season, which linebacker do you think he will push off the roster?
Well,
and also, do you think he has a chance to start?
First of all, I wouldn't quite say that he's more talented than Michael Boley. Michael Boley's an excellent weak side linebacker, so let's not quite put him in that category yet. And I think that's where he's most comfortable on the weak side. So it's really going to be hard, Anita, for him to get into the starting lineup because Michael Boley's going to be the starter. He was the Giants' best linebacker last year, and he was calling plays in the huddle last year, too. He had the headset in for a good amount of games last year. But I think you will see Keith Rivers in that nickel package and coverage. He's athletic, and he's been very active in
camp. You've got a man crush.
I don't think it's a man crush.
No?
But I have been impressed with what he's done in practice. He's been very active. A lot of times, as a veteran who's been in the league a few years, you don't see the fire. Coming back from these 2 years of injuries, I see a lot of enthusiasm and fire during practice. And I think he's just happy to be healthy, and I think it's reflected in the way he's played in practice.
Absolutely. I mean, in a positive for Giants fans, understand. I mean, the depth at the linebacker position is just ridiculous this year. You could say the same thing for the corners. So you've got to commend Jerry Reese and the guys upstairs for what they've done and the talent that they brought in here to camp, especially that linebacking crew. I mean, it goes all the way down to Herzlick, Jaquan Williams, Greg Jones. I mean, you name it.
And it's a balance between veterans and young guys. You have the Kiwanukas, mm-hmm. the Rivers, even a young veteran, and, of course, Michael Boley, Chase Blackburn. Then you have the whole slew of second-year guys, the Paysingers, the Greg Jones, the Herzlicks, the undrafted rookie free agent Jake Vassau, who the coaches really like. It's a nice little balance there. Unfortunately, during training camp, Anita, they've had a lot of injuries at those positions. Guys are slowly making their way back, and I forgot about Jaquan Williams, of course, another second-year linebacker. He was back at practice today. We'll see if he plays on Friday. I doubt Michael Boley will. He's been battling a hamstring. He didn't practice today. But you're right. There are a lot of guys there that can play. There's going to be big competition for roster spots, and special teams is going to play a big role in deciding who's going to stay ahead of who.
518-437-3774. Back to our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Tyreek Smith. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
Good.
Yes, I got two questions. Overall, I want to know, like, who's having the best training camp session this year? And with all the cornerbacks that we have, even with Terrell Thomas down, do you think we got a good core that could hold our defense down in the secondary?
Well, I can say that there's a lot of depth at cornerback. Now, whether or not somebody's ready to be a full-time starter, I don't think you can see enough at practice in Albany to decide that. Let's see in the preseason game what's happened. Could be Prince. Justin Tryon has a lot of experience in this league. Michael Coe's been in the league a while. Those are the three guys I think that have the best chance to start, and we'll see if Jerron Hosley can play that nickel spot in the slot where he's made some plays during training camp. As for a player that stood out during camp.
Give me one guy.
I don't want to give the generic answer, which is David Wilson. Everybody says David Wilson, but he's the guy that catches your eye. He's athletic. He can move around. He's explosive.
More so than Reuben Randall.
Yes, I think David Wilson is more passes the eye test with a little bit better than Randall. Not that Randall hasn't been great, and he looks the part. He looks very smooth, but Wilson's the guy that really jumps at him.
More so than Mark Herzlick.
Yeah, I think it's easier to see it with skill position guys. A linebacker without the hitting and without the play at the line of scrimmage, it's hard to really tell how good he's going to be. It's easier to see with the skill guys.
518-437-3774. Head back to our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Jason from Montana.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, Anita and John, just want to say great show.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, with Eli being a great student of the game and having the ability to make calls and changes at the line, do you see the Giants being more aggressive this season and doing more hurry-up offense?
I don't think you're going to see a lot of hurry-up offense only because Coach Coughlin likes to maintain that balance, and he doesn't want the defense on the field for long periods of time. If they get in a situation where they get down early and they have to rush, can they? Sure. But I don't think you're going to see a ton of hurry-up, at least more so than we've seen the last couple years. But he's right. Eli is a smart guy, and Sean Ryan, the Giants quarterback coach, said it the other day. He's been taking the young receivers, and even Martellus Bennett, a veteran but new to the team, aside and really teaching them the offense, and he's very specific as to what he wants and how to read coverages, which is, of course, a big part of Kevin Gilbride's offense.
Well, I thought we were calling him the comeback kid last year. I mean, all the, you know, the games that the Giants were down, and he brought them back in the fourth quarter, no huddle, you know, 2 minutes. You know, we know he can do it. So if need be, we know Eli's the man, the comeback kid.
I mean, if you look at his numbers, I don't have him in front of me. He had maybe the best fourth quarter stats last year than any player I've ever seen. He almost had half of his touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It's ridiculous.
90% of that was no huddle, hurry up, get down there, score, put 7 points on the board, and win.
It was, but I'm not sure if that's because of the no huddle or because they had to throw it. They could be just as successful earlier in the game throwing without the no huddle, but they try to be balanced with the running game. So, again, I don't think we're going to see this team become Aaron Rodgers and the Packers or Drew Brees and the Saints where they're going no huddle all game. It's just not in Tom Coughlin's philosophy.
518-437-3774. Head back to our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and your location.
This is Len in Columbia, Maryland.
Hey, welcome. What's going on, Len?
How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing well.
Great.
About 49 hours to kickoff. We're going to see a Giants football game. I can't wait.
Frankly, Len, I know people love practice and love to come to Albany to watch it. Let's see a game already. I'm tired of seeing these guys go against each other.
Oh, man, this is going to be great. Listen, two quick questions. Whenever I hear hip injury in sports, I get worried. What can you tell us about Jaquan Williams? It's been over a week now with a so-called hip injury. And secondly, how do you see the defensive tackle situation shaking out? Even if Chris can't dress for the first game of the season and goes on that regular season pup list, you know, we still got some numbers there. That's good.
Well,
how do you see this shaking out?
Well, Len, first I'll start with Jaquan Williams. The Giants were very happy to see Jaquan back on the practice field today. He worked, and not as many snaps as he might in a normal situation, but he was out there, which I think is a good thing. But I'd be surprised, Anita, if we see him in the game on Friday. No reason to take any chances. And I forgot the second part of Len's question. What was it?
I was checking out our Twitter.
Let's go to that then. Sorry, okay. Len. Call back tomorrow. We'll get to you.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to drive the show. Giants message board questions. This is from GoDeep80. If you were to make your own personal wide receiver depth chart based solely on performance in camp.
You love this question.
I love this question, by the way. I love it.
Trying to get me into trouble.
Yeah. No. No.
A little bit.
This far. Who would be where and why? So give us, based on camp so far, give us your wide receiver depth chart.
All right. I'm putting Nick Swan and Cruz too. That's easy.
That's easy.
All right. I will have to stick with the vet and go with Dominic Hixon coming off his two knee injuries. He looks great in camp. He always is where he's supposed to be, always does what he has to do. I'll put Hixon at number three.
Okay, we're
then
in agreement
it's
there.
A bit of a muddle. Now, I think Ruben Randle has, at least in the last few days of practice, slightly outplayed Jarrell Jernigan. So I'm going to put Randle in there at four, Jernigan a close fifth, and then in the sixth spot, I think you still have to put Ramsey Barden in there just because he knows the offense so well. But I'll tell you what. He's getting chased by the likes of Dan DePalma. He's getting chased by the likes of David Douglas.
See, I really believe, I think, and it's an exciting battle. I think it's really going to come down to David Douglas and Ramsey Barden for that sixth wide receiver spot.
We'll
see. It's fun. It's fun being out here watching them go at it.
Hey, look, there's a lot to still see of David Douglas. He's been great at camp. We got to see it in a game, which is why these preseason games are so important for the younger guys. They have to show they can translate what they do here onto the real into a real game situation. And we got to see him participate on special teams. That final wide receiver spot is going to have to play special teams. We've seen him do a little bit of kick return the last couple of days. Coach Coughlin trying to get him in the mix there.
Right.
And that special teams thing could really be the tiebreaker.
Now we're going to continue to take your calls. 518-437-3774 is the Giants have been really the talk of the town. Coming off a Super Bowl victory, and I know really the talk of sports talk radio. Mike Francesa, who hosts his show on WFAN, was actually up here in Albany yesterday, and our own John Schmelk had a chance to catch up with him.
It's really ridiculous. It's got to be tough to judge, especially the younger guys, the undrafted guys. How did you guys make an impression in such a short period of time?
See, I think now you're to the point where you're only going to make the team. The guys who are close, the guys who are going to be your special teams players, your last roster players, they have to play well in the games. You are not going to make the team off practice. You're not going to make the team off jog-throughs, okay? You're going to make the team on those couple of games. And the guys, for fans who are watching, the guys who star in those games, who make big plays in those games, will be the ones who are going to make the squad.
And finally, Mike, you mentioned playmakers. They had another potential big-time playmaker at wide receiver in Ruben Randle in the draft. And last year, their running game, 32nd in the league, not very giant-like, but David Wilson's a guy that can break in on any given play.
I think that's the name this year. I've always liked David Wilson. I thought he was underrated. I think he might turn out to be the real ingredient, especially since the Giants are better blockers at tight end this year. And especially putting Snead and Deal on the right side with a good blocker, I could see them being a very good team running to their right. And I think the Giants are going to have a much more explosive running game. Listen, Bradshaw is going to get hurt because the way he runs, he's always going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. That's just the way he's a little guy who runs hard, so he's going to get hurt. But I think Wilson's going to turn out to be the big star in this season. I think he's going to be the real guy that people are talking about this year. And let's be honest, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Eagles are going to be a game apart at the end of the season.
8-10-6, right?
That's basically it. It's going to be, you know, maybe you can throw in 9-7 to 11-5 in a given year. But the bottom line is you're going to separate the three of them by two games, and maybe two of them are going to make the playoffs, and one's going to be looking in, and then you see what happens. They're all about the same.
So back to Anita Marks, John Schmelk, and you, the phone number for you to get in on the show, 518-437-3774. Real quick, head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media today after practice, and just to give you an idea what to expect in preseason game number one, starters are going to go 15 to 18 reps, second 18 to 25, and then from there on out, what should we expect?
That should take us to about the middle, the end of the third quarter, then the third triggers, and the fourth team should take us the rest of the way. And like Mike said, I think he's 100% right. That's when these young guys have to show it. You only have 15 practices here in Albany, 12 already in the books, just 3 left, if you can believe it. Preseason game is when these guys are going to earn their roster spots.
John, let's head back to our callers. Right. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
Go ahead, caller. That looks like we lost him.
One topic that we really haven't talked a lot about, and that is the offensive line. Will Beattie, question marks about his back. He's having spasms. Head coach Tom Coughlin addressed it a little bit today after practice. Do you think he'll play against Jacksonville?
No chance. I don't think we're going to see Beattie on Friday against Jacksonville. He has that sciatic issue, which obviously is the lower back, gets into the hamstrings. It can be very bothersome. Let's get Will Beattie healthy before we put him out there in the game.
Let's head back to our callers. The number, 518-437-3774. Caller, welcome to the show. Again, your name and where you're calling from.
I don't think he has a question, Mr. Okay. Dialto.
All right. So with Will Beattie possibly, as you said, not expecting to play, what does that mean? Who will we see at left tackle? What offensive linemen do you think are going to get a lot of playing time?
I think Sean Locklear will go with the first team. That's exactly why they brought him in as a free agent acquisition in the offseason, just in case Will Beattie gets hurt. And frankly, he's had some injury problems throughout his young Giants career. So I think he'll go with the ones. Coach Coughlin said it to the media the other day. He's been good and bad at practice. Wants to see some more consistency. After that, we'll see James Brewer. And, of course, we'll see the young guys, you know, Brandon Mosley, the Giants draft pick this year. So those young guys will really have to show something because they haven't had much of an opportunity with all the split reps in camp. They'll have a good quarter and a half of football. Let's see something.
Third time's a charm. Let's head out to our caller. Caller, your name and where you're calling from.
Caller, you there? Strike three.
Okay. Well, let's do this really quick because another topic that really I think Giants fans are really excited to see is special teams. I mean, this is an organization, unfortunately, really hasn't had a breakout player who's going to take it to the house every time he touches the ball in quite a while. So we had a chance to talk to a special teams coach, Tom Quinn. Some high expectations for possibly Jarrell Jernigan, David Wilson, Hickson. Let's hear what he had to say to the media.
Yeah, we're happy with that group. We need to see them against live bullets. The three rookies that we have back there. So that's be exciting for us to see. Jernigan's catching the ball better. He's getting started better. Hosey, we've been, he's done some good things as well. Again, he's got the experience coming from Virginia Tech, having done it. And then Reuben Randall's a guy that we've worked back there. I know he's done it in practice in college, but he has been behind two very good punt returners, one that's in the league and one that will be in the league soon. Each year we look at our roster and, you know, got figure out who the 53 and the 46 is going to be for game day and fill what guys can fill those roles. And it's ever-changing for special teams, so we never get too hooked up with the guy because once you start feeling real comfortable with the guy and then he's starting or he's a free agent. So we're used to the change of having to get guys ready for that role.
Again, the number 518-437-3774 to get in on the show, Big Blue Kickoff Live, again brought to you by Andrew Mark, coming to you live from the University at Albany. Let's head to our phone lines. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hey, this is Ed over here in Orlando, Florida.
There we go, Ed. Go ahead.
It has reference to do with the offensive line. Mitch Petras, don't hear much about him at all. Just wondering how he's doing in camp and I know when he filled in for us last year, we did pretty well. Just wondering how he's doing this year.
Well, if there's one word I would use to describe Mitch Petras, it's active. He always seems to be running around doing something, and he has so much energy. He tries hard. And he's a guy, though, that the coaches have to keep an eye on and make sure he stays on his P's and Q's. You know, we've seen a couple instances over the course of camp where he has gotten yelled at a little bit by, you know, Coach Flats and even Coach Coughlin now and then. But he is a young player. He's very strong. He gets the push in the running game. But I think, you know, there is still some development that's to happen here, and these preseason games are very important for Mitch to get better and improve to show the coaches he could be depended on.
Well, let's continue with our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
Caller, go ahead.
Hi, this is Rashawn, San Diego, California.
What's up, Rashawn?
I just was wondering about the linebacker situation and where they've been having Keith Rivers play and also the Jake Masao, how's he doing?
Unfortunately, Misao has missed a couple of practices, which is for an undrafted guy can really sometimes be a death sentence for a guy trying to make a team. But Jim Herman actually really likes Misao. I think he's been playing well at that middle linebacker spot. Keith Rivers has been really good in camp, but you got to wonder where they're going to find a spot for him. I think the caller makes a good point. You know, Michael Boley's a starting weak side guy, so Rivers isn't going to unseat him there. I don't think he's going to move over to middle. He hasn't worked there in training camp at all, and he's not big enough to be a Sam backer on that side where they have Matthias Kiwanuka. So I guess we'll see him mostly in nickel and dime and in passing coverage situation where he can, you know, do a little coverage and maybe blitz off the edge.
Well, the great thing about having all this linebacker depth and just depth, really cornerback everywhere on defense for Perry Fuel is that he can get really creative.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here trying to figure out, well, how is Keith Rivers going to get on the field? Really, we should be asking Perry Fuel that question. I'm sure he's got a lot of packages planned for Keith Rivers.
And I'm sure he won't answer our question when we ask it to him either, because he wants to surprise all the NFL teams out there. And I even forgot Jaquan Williams, another weak side linebacker that's good in pass situations. So you're right. They're going to find the way to use Keith Rivers because he's been pretty darn good in camp.
518-437-3774. Back out to our callers. Welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Joseph Lukiewicz. I'm from Central Pennsylvania, Shamokin, PA, just a couple miles from where Hino lives.
Very nice, Joe.
To both of you.
What's up?
I just want to make a statement that this really looks like one of the most talented teams of all time. And I was just wondering, too, even like the backup fullback, I forget his name.
Joe Martinick.
What's his chances are making the team, him and Brown?
He is the Paul Dottino optimism going there. One of the best teams of all time. I like it. But, you know, Martinick is going to have a tough ride here. I think he's a guy that would fit well on the team's practice squad. I don't think, just from looking, I haven't really talked to the coaches about him, but just, you know, watching him during practice and looking at him, he doesn't seem to be, have the size, rather, to be that traditional, you know, pile driver type of move the pile fullback. Now, he can get bigger and that can change, but right now he's really more of a hybrid. We've seen him as a single back in goal line situations. They can figure out a way to use him, but I think there's a developmental year still to go for Joe Martinick, and I bet you the Giants will try to get him onto that practice squad.
Especially how intricate Kevin Gilbride's system is. Yeah. It takes a good year, if not more, to really know his system offensively. 518-437-3774. Our next caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Brian from Syracuse.
What's up, Brian? Go ahead.
Hey, I was wondering about the defensive tackle from North Carolina. We've heard a lot about him, Williams.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if he was, he's made a lot of news, and I was wondering if he was going to maybe start this year.
I don't think Marvin Austin's going to start. I assume that's who you're talking about, the tackle out of North Carolina. But he hasn't played a football game in almost three calendar years. So to expect Marvin Austin to come in and start this year is asking a little bit much, even with Chris Canty's injury. I think more than likely you'll see some type of combination of Linval Joseph. I would guess Rocky Bernard would be the starter with him, but who knows? Sean Rogers dropped 40 pounds since OTAs. Maybe he might sneak into that starting lineup.
Let's head back out to our calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Carlos. I'm calling from Bethlehem, PA.
Go ahead, Carlos. What's up, pal?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to know, what are the chances of Mark Hersley beating out Chase Blackburn for the middle linebacker position?
Great question.
I'd call
I've been hearing a lot that he's been doing very good, and I just would like to see him. I mean, I love Chase Blackburn, but I just think Hersley has a lot of potential.
Yeah, Carlos, I would consider it an outside shot at this point. I think they like what Chase does. He's reliable. He knows what he's doing. I consider it an outside shot, and as the season goes along, if Hersley continues to play well, maybe he can do it sooner rather than later. But again, Herzog's another guy, Anita. Do it in the preseason game. That's his opportunity.
Excited to see him against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's try to get one more caller
sure.
in less than 2 minutes in the show. Caller, welcome to the show. Your name and your location.
My name is Antoine, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Be quick, Antoine. What's up?
Oh, okay, my question is, how's Martellus Bennett been doing in camp, and what do you expect from him this season?
I think Bennett's looked better the past few practices. Early on, he seemed to still be learning the offense. I talked to Coach Purp earlier today, and he says when he's trying to figure out what's going on, he doesn't look fast. And the first few practices, he didn't look fast. He's looked a lot better the last few practices this last week or so, working on the field, and he's kind of coming around as a pass catcher. I think the Giants have high hopes for him.
Really quick, about 1 minute left in the show. This is a question from BigBlueInteractive.com, yeah, message board from Swirly Ned. You've been covering this team for quite a while, John. So just curious, how would you compare this year's camp to previous ones?
And we thank Big Blue Interactive for helping us promote the show. And it's very different because there's no two-a-days. We had it last year. That was in New Jersey. Now it's up here. You don't get the reps. So that's why the game's on Friday, and I'm beating a dead horse here, I know. You got to perform. That's a great opportunity for these young guys to show the coaches what they can do.
Well, I'm pumped. I know you're pumped.
Let's play some football. Okay. Let's go. I sound like the Tino.
You
Let's
do.
Go.
You do. You've been spending too much time with Pauly D. For John Schmokanino Marks and all of us here, part of the broadcast team at the Giants, everybody does such a fantastic job, and it's been 3 weeks up here in Albany. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, Big Blue Kickoff Live, and make sure you tune in to Giants.com. We'll be heading up to Jacksonville, bringing you all the Jacksonville coverage with, of course, the Giants. So have a great night, everybody.